Jesus was fully committed to restoring all things. He was fully committed to making right what was wrong between us and God. And He carried it through on the cross. This morning we celebrate our freedom. We celebrate the fact that we don't have to carry our own trash anymore. We don't have to carry our sin. We don't have to carry our shame. We don't have to carry our hurt. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to cover it with drugs or alcohol or work or success. But we can be free through Jesus. This is what the Bible says. Luke 4, verse 18 to 19 says, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. If you're burdened and you're battered this morning, if you're in bondage this morning, if you're feeling empty or if you're feeling confused this morning, Jesus came to set you and I free. He came to buy us back from the power of sin, to take our trash, because we never ever were meant to carry it. We weren't designed, we weren't created to carry the weight of sin. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. He went about doing good. He went about setting people free. He went about healing people, touching people, changing people, making their life new. And He's here and alive today, and is powerful, or more powerful even today, because now He has all authority, all dominion, all power to set you free, to set me free, to take away the power of sin, death, hell, and the devil in our lives and make us completely and totally free. He was raised from the dead and everything broke loose because He got the power. He actually took the power away from Satan. He's not a God that thinks kindly and then doesn't have the power to act, but He has the power. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians. I want you to know about, in Ephesians 1 verse 19 to 23, I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power He used when He raised Jesus from the dead and let Him sit at His right hand in heaven. There Christ rules over all forces, all authorities, all powers and rulers. He rules over all beings in this world and will rule in the future world as well. God has put all things under the power of Christ, and for the good of the church, He has made Him the head of everything. The church is Christ's body and is filled with Christ, who completely fills everything. Jesus not only died on the cross, but He was raised from the dead. He didn't just stay in the tomb, but He was raised. He's alive today. And He's with us today. And He has power and authority, ultimate power and authority today. I don't know if you ever sat around at night and flipped channels and you get these shows where, you know, like they're showing all the starving kids or, you know, things like that. Just things that really tug at your heart. And sometimes you look at it and you say, it's so sad. I want to do something. I want to change this somehow. I want to do something. And in our own power, we don't have much power to do anything. But God doesn't look and sit on His couch and look at us in that way and look at a world that's hurting, a world that's under stress, a world that's in bondage and say, oh, that's really sad. I wish I could do something. He looks at us and He said, I did it. I finished it. I paid the price. They're free. We just have to reach out and take that freedom. He came to deal with your trash. Not just a kind thought from a benevolent person, but a covenant that God made with us to be free, to pay the price, to take our place, to stand in our place, and so that we could be free. He gained, in the covenant of Almighty God, backed up by the authority and power of Jesus, which He gained as His life was spilled out on that cross of Calvary. He gained the authority. He wasn't just there because He was God, but He went and took the authority away from the devil so that we could be free. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15 says, when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God, but God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the street. So many things in our life we struggle with, even as believers sometimes, that we shouldn't struggle with, that we don't need to struggle with, we don't need to carry anymore. We need to give it to God. We need to let Him have it. The Bible says that, come to me, all you that are weary and weighed down, and I will give you rest. He said that because that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to take what is weighing us down and give it to Him so we can live a free and full life. Do you understand how important it is for us to do that? Do you understand how much God was interested in that for our life, and so we need to step into it and walk into it? Today I want to take a few minutes just to talk about the resurrection life that Jesus paid for us on the cross. You know, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, when he poured His blood out, when he walked to the cross and took the pain and took the suffering and took the whip and took everything for us, He did it because He knew that as He was raised from the dead, that us too. The Bible says that He was the firstborn, really reborn among many brothers. Right? That because Jesus gave His life, exchanged His life and His purity for our sin, we now can be arisen and resurrected with Him. We can live a life that's free like Jesus lives. He gave us that. He promised us that. He paid for that. It's really awful when you see, like, I know sometimes I see my nephews and nieces walking down the highway from Dunville to church, you know, like, because they're like, I say to them, you know what, give me a call and I'll give you a ride. And sometimes it's raining out and sometimes they're carrying a big backpack and I'm like, why did you walk? Like, why didn't you call? I told you I would do it for you. Right? We sometimes, we just carry weights. We do things for ourselves that we don't need to do because Jesus already paid for it. When you see people struggling under a weight that you are willing to take off of them, it's frustrating for you because, you know, like, I would have helped you. Like, I was the guy who, when I was a teenager, every weekend, almost, it seemed like I was moving somebody. I think when you get in between like 18 and 24, it's like you have, I'm the moving man taped across your back, and everybody calls you. And every weekend, it seems like you, you know, have that. And then, because I hated it so much, when we moved from Welland to Dunville, like I was loading up my little caravan every day out before work and driving it and bringing it in. And like, I remember Pete said to me one day, he finally said, like, I'll help you. Why don't you just let me help? Right? But I was carrying the load by myself. When I allowed Pete to help me, we got through it fast and it was good. You know, but we need to give the load to Jesus. It's an act of our will. It's an act of our will. We saw these people march across the stage and throw their garbage at the foot of the cross. But they could have just as easily stayed where they were and not been free. And maybe you're here today and you've been offered this chance for salvation. You've been offered this chance to live a free and a new life, but you're just holding on to it. You're just grabbing hold and you're saying, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to carry it myself. Please, let it go. Give it to Jesus. He paid the price for you. So today we're going to look at the cross, and the cross is the place of exchange. It's a place where Jesus gave His life for our life, where Jesus took our sins upon Him so that we could become righteous or have right standing with God. Jesus was separated from His Father so that we could be connected to His Father. Jesus took the sickness of the whole world on Him so that we could be healed. He took the sin of the whole world so that we could be set free from sin. He was broken so we don't have to be. It's a place of transaction. And we all have to come to a place someday where we say, what are we going to do with the cross? What are we going to do with that? Are we going to carry it ourselves? Are we going to carry all this weight around ourselves? Are we going to give it to Jesus and be free? It was for freedom that He came, so that we could be free. So we need to be free. So we're going to look at some of the obvious things today that were exchanged at the cross. The first thing is, we traded our brokenness for His wholeness. I think we can agree that if we flip on the TV today, maybe you did this morning and you watched the news, and you saw how broken our world is. Like, how broken is it? Like, I was at a conference last fall, and they had a lady there talking about just human trafficking, and how, like, they take little kids, 4 and 5 years old, and put them into the sex trade. How broken is our world? How broken are we as people? How messed up can it be? But Jesus came and said, no matter how broken, no matter how smashed up your life is, I want to make you whole. I want to make you free. This is what the Bible says, that He came to give us freedom. Many people were broken in our relationships, right? Whether husband and wife, right? We're broken. A lot of times we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to sort out our problems. We don't know how to deal with our anger or deal with our frustration. So we close ourselves off and our relationships become broken. We get broken in our relationships with our kids. They grow up from being, yes, mommy and daddy, to being teenagers and questioning authority, and we don't know what to do, so we allow this brokenness to happen. And God came, Jesus came to heal that brokenness. He came to heal brokenness in your relationships. He came to heal brokenness in your health, in your well-being, and rebuild them God's way. But we need to give them to Him. We need to take the bag of trash that we carry, the brokenness that we carry, and throw it at the foot of the cross. The second thing that we exchanged, we traded our sin and shortcomings for His forgiveness. All of us came to Jesus with this problem of sin. We were born into a world that's full of sin. And we continued to sin. We continued to choose to live that life with no hope of redemption without Jesus. We're born into a sinful world, but we just continue to sin. In Romans 3, verse 23, in case you think you're someone who has no sin, it says, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." But this is what happened at the cross, and this is where the exchange took place. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, "For He has made Him who never knew sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." The Bible taught us, and Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." There's no other way under heaven for man to be saved but Jesus alone. And people think that that's arrogant to say that. People think that that's mean to say that. People think that that's not right to say that. But if you know what you know, if we know that that's the truth and we don't say it, it's crazy. If I saw a house burning down and someone hanging out of a window and I didn't help them, it would be crazy. It would be mean. It would be selfish. We need to step up. We need to realize that Jesus is the way. But because He was the way, He went all the way to the cross. He went all the way, took all the suffering, took the whip till He was barely recognizable. He was He poured out his life of blood. He had a crown of thorns pushed into his skull. He walked with a heavy cross on his shoulder all the way to Golgotha. He had nails pounded through his wrists and through his feet. And he hung between heaven and earth, gasping for breath for hours, for you and for me, because he knew he was the way. He knew that he had to become sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that we could have right standing with God. He paid the price. He didn't do it just for an icon or for something to hang around your neck or for a picture for us to remember at Easter time. He did it because he wants you to be free. That's what he wants for you. He wants freedom for you. He paid for it with his own blood, with his own life. You know what? If you're not a believer here this morning, hear what I'm saying. You need Jesus. If you're a believer here this morning, you've forgotten how beautiful his gift was just today. Just thank Jesus for the gift. Because it was only because of Jesus, it was only because of his blood that we could exchange our sinfulness for his righteousness. The Bible says in Romans that the wages of sin is death. Death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that dying to sin, we might live to righteousness, and by whose stripes we're healed. Totally made right with God because of Jesus' suffering. There is no other way than the blood of Jesus for us to be made right with God. And it's only because of Jesus that we're now right with him. Third thing is we traded our shame for his name. I don't know, shame is powerful, right? I think that most of us, if we just sit here for a minute, we can think of something in our life that's caused us shame that maybe we've never talked to anybody about, or if we have, we've only told a few people, and still it niggles in the back of our head. It's just back there all the time. It's, I can never be because. I could never do because. There's this thing in our life that makes us feel ashamed. Well, Jesus came to free you from shame. He came to take your shame. He came to take it away from you. It prevents us, shame, from forgiving ourselves and moving on from our past. In fact, it keeps us hiding things from God, from others, and even from ourselves. It keeps us hidden. This is what Adam and Eve did in the garden, because they were ashamed because they had sinned, because they were now naked. And they hid. He came to remove the shame. In Hebrews 2, verse 10 to 12, it says, everything belongs to God, and all things were created by his power. So God did the right thing when he made Jesus perfect by suffering, as Jesus led many of God's children to be saved and to share in his glory. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. That's why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. He even said to God, I will tell them your name and sing your praises when they come together to worship. You know, When you're a parent, when you're part of a family, like I watch, you know, you see on the news these guys who are serial killers, and you still see their mothers and their fathers, you know, going to visit them in the prison and loving them, maybe being feeling some shame because of what their child did, but still feeling a love and a care and a commitment because it's their child. What God said, you know what? I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed to call you my children, my sons and my daughters. It's because of the work of Jesus on the cross that he not only took our shame, but he gave us his name. We are now, because of the blood of Jesus, we're called, in the Old Testament, you would be called, like, my name would be Ralph Ben Ralph, right? Right? And Tom, I don't even know your dad's name. What's your dad's name? Keith. Tom Ben Keith, right? Right? And instead now, right? My name is Ralph Ben Father God. Ralph, the Son of God. Ben meant son of, right? Tom, son of Keith. Ralph, son of Ralph. Levi, son of Ralph. Now Levi, son of God. Right? Marlene, daughter of God. Beth, daughter of God. Right? It's now, it's not only that he took our shame, but he said, I'm not ashamed to call you my children. Think of the power of that. Think of the love that was poured out from God in that. You don't have to carry shame. Whatever it is in your past that's holding you down, that you say, I just can't be because, let it go. Give it to Jesus. Throw it at the foot of the cross. Take that trash and throw it out, because now you're son or daughter of God. You're not this shameful thing. You're not this. You can't find your identity in that anymore. Your identity is now in God. You are His child. You need to take the shame that you've been carrying around like a bag of trash and throw it at the cross of Jesus. We traded, number four, our emptiness for His fullness. So many times in life, you think about people, and I mean, I've even been there myself in the past, you know, like where you sit there and you're working or you're doing these things and you're trying to maybe find meaning in them, you know? You're trying to find fulfillment or satisfaction in them. But you sit down or you're laying in bed at night and you think, man, I feel empty. You know, whether that you try and find your fullness in like having, you know, a nice house or a fancy car, whether you try and find it by having a career or a bunch of letters behind your name, whether you try and find it by becoming a workaholic, or whether you try and find it becoming a party animal or doing drugs or whatever, there's a point in most people's lives where we're confronted with our emptiness. Because there is an empty spot inside of each one of us. It used to be said, a lot of people used to say it, that we have a Jesus-shaped hole inside of each of us, and until it's filled by Jesus, we can never feel full. Well, today, if you're feeling empty, today, if you're feeling like everything you're working for isn't really bringing the fulfillment or the fullness you thought that it should, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. This is what the Bible says in John 10, verse 10. The thief, the devil, comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come in order that you might have a life, have life, and life in all its fullness. Jesus called you into a life that's full. A life that's not dependent on what's parked in your driveway. A life that's not dependent on the letters behind your name or the nameplate on your door or whether you can get your next fix or whether you can, you know, do whatever. The fullness is not dependent on that. The fullness is dependent on having Jesus in your life and being filled with Him. Knowing that you're a child, a son, a daughter of God. Knowing that you're making a difference and you're called into a bigger picture than anything that you were ever known before. The kingdom of God. The full life that He promised you is based on eternal things and being part of His kingdom, which is much bigger than anything we've ever been living for before. Throw all the emptiness in your life at the foot of the cross and follow Jesus. He'll give you a full life. Number five, we trade our failures and disappointments for a fresh start. A lot of times we look at our life and we say, you know what, failing. Not winning. Maybe I can't win. Maybe, you know, especially as we've gone as a nation through this huge economic downturn and really a lot of uncertainty, where as a culture we found our security in our success, where we found our win in our success. And over this past couple years that's been shaken and that's been brought down, and you're saying, man, I thought that I was a success, but I feel now like I can't win, like I'm failing. Maybe you started out your married life, you know, thinking, we're going to break all the odds. We're going to love each other every day. We're going to teach all these old people how to be married. And, enjoy life. And today you look at your marriage and it's fumbling and it's shattered and you say, I can't win. You know, maybe you're looking at your kids and the relationship between you and your children is broken and it's not going well and you wished it would. And you just feel like a failure, maybe as a mother or a father. Or maybe you're a student and your grades aren't where you hope they would be and you just can't seem to get it together. That Jesus came to take your failure and give you His life. Give you a fresh start. Revelations 21 verse 5 says, the one who sits on the throne says, and now I make all things new. He also said, write this because these words are true and can be trusted. He makes all things new. No matter how bad your life is messed up, no matter how failing it is, no matter whose fault it is, no matter where it is, He came to give you a new start. He makes all things new. You need to come to Jesus. Give Him your trash and He'll make all things new for you and give you a fresh start. That's what it says in Romans 3, 24 and 25. God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, He put us in right standing with Himself. A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where He always wanted us to be. And He did it by means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in Him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with Himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins He had so patiently endured. Failure is in the past. If you give it to Jesus, He'll give you a fresh start. He'll give you a do-over, a redo. Put your life back straight. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is we trade our hurt and pain and sickness for His healing. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30 says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5 says, but the fact is, it was our pains that He carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought He brought it on Himself, that God was punishing Him for His own failures. But it was our sins that did that to Him, that ripped and tore and crushed Him. Our sins. He took the punishment and that made us whole. Through His bruises we get healed. So today, I just want to invite you. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you never said, Jesus, come into my heart, change my life, today is a great day. Today is a great day to be reborn, to be made new, to have a fresh start, to have your failures and your fears and your brokenness and your shame taken away and given to Jesus and start over. Take something as simple as a prayer. Just saying in your heart, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Make me new. I repent. I'll turn. I'll want to live for you. If you're here this morning and you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but even as this drama went on and you saw what people were carrying and you identified with that, even as we pray this prayer this morning, just cast that on Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. Stop carrying this stuff yourself. Start really living in the freedom that Jesus bought for you. So we're going to pray a prayer together. If you pray it with your mouth and believe it with your heart, your life's going to change. It's going to be amazing. Jesus changed my life. He changed the life of so many people I know in this room. And He wants to change yours. And it's just as simple as saying this prayer together and really meaning it with your heart, saying it with your mouth. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I ask you today to come into my heart. I thank you that you died on the cross, that you are broken, that you took shame for me. I just thank you that you went through with it, and that today I can be free. I want to be free. I want you to save me. I want you to take my garbage and give me a new life. From today and on, I want to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to sing a song. And just let God speak to you through this. We're going to close after that in prayer. If you said that prayer for the first time this morning, then please stop at the prayer room, the third door on the right, on the left, and just tell someone there. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if you're sick or if you're struggling, there'll be people in the room there to pray for you. They won't hurt you. They won't bother you. They'll just care about you and pray for you. And just give yourself to Jesus. Give it all. Let's sing. You have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen.
Cut that for
a moment.
Yeah.
Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written.